Auburn football's roster seems to be finished, and the Tigers got much, much better.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 41 of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we are going to talk this Auburn football roster in depth. It seems like the completion of the roster is sort of nearing, and we're going to talk a little bit of a basketball visitor that's coming in, and then what is amiss in recruiting? We're going to talk about what is amiss in recruiting. Before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy, Ford Stokes, who's launched a television show in Huntsville and Columbus, Georgia. In Huntsville, you can catch it on Sundays at 10:30 on WZDX, and then on Sundays in Columbus, Georgia at 8:30 on WXTX. It's called Retirement Results. If you're jumping in, you're just now hearing this, you can go to retirementresults.com. They upload all the videos there so you can get caught back up. You can get to know Ford before you reach out to him and talk about the way that he's going to put a custom plan together to help you get you to where you need to be when the time comes to go ahead and call it quit. Say, hey, I worked hard. I've earned all this money. I'm ready to just go play golf, go rest. Ford, help me get there where I need to be. And he's the guy to do it. So check him out. You can check him out on television, or you can go to activewealth.com or annuity360.net. So many ways to reach out to Ford. You just got to get out and do it. Tell him War Eagle. Ford Stokes, Active Wealth Management. All right. So it seems like, you know, you had a couple of guys that you're looking at to add at the very end of the portal season. You got Khalil Jacobs, who still could come to Auburn, but it does look like, you know, the tide started turning there on that recruitment. And then, you know, Hugh mentioned he wanted to add a DB, but there's really just not a ton of DB names out there. There may be a JUCO guy that we're possibly flirting with that you'll see, his name pop up later if it's somebody that we're actually interested in. But yeah, it looks like this roster is pretty much finished. It looks like what we see now, the 79 scholarship guys that we have right now, are going to be what we go into the 2024 season with. And I think if you look at it position group by position group, that especially of the ones that you had to add folks in, I think Auburn got a lot better. I think Auburn raised its floor big time utilizing the portal the way it did, especially in spring, because it was getting a little bit dicey. I'm not 100% sure that the organization was quite there yet in the December period. But it does seem like Auburn's kind of got it rolling a little bit as far as the way they want to attack the portal, the way they understand now they're able to get those first visits. They're able to go ahead and, you know, get a strategy together to go ahead and do a lot of the evaluation on the front end. So when you come, it's literally business. Hey, this is where we need you. This is how we see you. And this is what players at your position make at Auburn University. And I think once they kind of got that figured out, you saw a lot of the positive, the positive dividends that paid from that. So, again, I think barring, you know, a change of momentum in the Khalil Jacobs recruitment, the linebacker from South Alabama, I think you're probably done. And I don't really know what 100% what happened there. We'll just have to see, because it did see, and I talked about this on Locked On Auburn, it didn't seem like once he came to visit, he kind of shut his other visits down, and it was like Auburn, Auburn, Auburn. And then for whatever reason, both sides couldn't really get together and figure it out. So he's going to go back. I think he's visiting Ole Miss today, and he'll probably go visit Missouri and Alabama, and we'll see who he picks. And, you know, he does have some familiarity, obviously, with Alabama. Good player. He was going to be a two-year player. He probably wasn't going to start at Auburn this year, but he would have been in the running to be the guy next year. Wasn't a super position of need. We filled all those. The positions you had to have, we filled them all, and we're going to talk about that right now. So I want to look at the top five position groups that Auburn had to, I'm going to say had to have a guy to take to raise the floor, had to have guys to be able to not only raise the floor, but also go ahead and raise the ceiling too. So number five was offensive line. Look, didn't add a ton of guys. And honestly, I'll put it at number five because if you had to roll into the next season without adding anyone else, you'd be a little bit thin, but it's essentially the exact same starting line. So it's another year for those guys to get better, another year for those guys to kind of gel and grow. You got Xavien Miller, who's just got a whole nother year to develop, probably played 1 year too early last year. So he's seen the speed of the game. Connor Liu, another one who took over in the middle of the year last year, who's, you know, just going to – the sky's the limit for him. Jeremiah Wright, who's finally healthy at right guard. And then you would have had Dylan Wade at left tackle, and then you had some kind of a battle for that left guard position. But one way that you could have made this team better is if you could have gone out and found you a solid SEC starting level left tackle that would give the opportunity for Dylan Wade to slide in to left or right guard. It looks like it's going to be left guard, to play his natural position that he's going to play in the NFL. And Auburn went out and did that. There was some drama. You know, there were some guys, you know, you had some dudes that, you know, you again, this goes back to the organization thing where you picked out some guys early. I think there was a kid from like San Jose State. There was a kid from maybe Toledo. They were very highly thought of that. Auburn had the last of their visits scheduled. They did have visits scheduled, but they never got to them because they went to the first places like Texas Tech and Arkansas, and they were so desperate they had to have guys right then. They went ahead and locked them down. But Auburn battled really hard with a bunch of big programs for Percy Lewis, the offensive tackle from, I believe, Mississippi State. Could have gone to Tennessee, could have gone to a number of different places. Auburn got him in. He actually did leave and go visit some other places, but Auburn stayed on him and got him in. And Percy Lewis, by all accounts, has been perfect for that left tackle spot. He came in. He's working hard. The guys love him. Everybody loves him. The coaches, you see a lot of like those behind-the-scenes type clips and things like that. He's always seems to be on film, and they love him. And then you add Ronan Chambers, who – again, you know, we talked about this on Locked On Auburn. He is a guy. This has only got 1 year left from Akron. Probably not going to see the field on like regular downs, barring a rash of injuries. I think Tyler Johnson's going to be your backup left tackle, maybe even your backup right tackle. And then, you know, if things go, you know, really south, you could possibly see Ronan step in. But big help as far as depth goes, just in case a guy's got a lot of experience, a guy that can play special teams and give our boys a lot of, you know, I guess, win, give them some breaks there, so to speak. So I think of the top five groups that had to have some folks, I would put them at my number five as far as like, if you're going one is most important to five, least important, I put that. I put the offensive line at number five. Number four would be the edge. Okay. And the reason I say I put this at number four is because you didn't bring in a guy that is going to start. You brought in at least to start the season. You know, you have Jalen McLeod, who is primed for an absolute monster breakout season, but you needed some guy because it was literally Jalen McLeod and then freshman. That's it. There's nothing in between. So when he's gone, it's just dudes that are going to play sparingly in their freshman year, and you're hoping for a big jump in development. But you go get a guy from Arkansas State, Kieron Crawford, in this late portal period, who was a very, very productive, player. Double-digit tackles for loss, five or six sacks on the year. Somebody that's got experience, that's got multiple years to play. So he's going to come learn and play behind. He will play. He's going to get playing time, play behind Jalen McLeod, and then be able to be the guy next year and be the starter, be the Jalen McLeod of next year. And then the younger guys are going to be able to be the Kieron Crawfords of that season. And then once that's done, they take over, and then you're just filling it with high school guys moving forward, which I think is the goal. You get a position group and you have the portal to sort of, supplement the holes, and then eventually you recruit your way high school wise and build your depth high school wise to where you don't have to go find that starter in the portal, unless there's just like a rash of injuries or you get some freak transfer away that puts you in a bind. So the edge position was my number four, but I do think, even though I put him at four, I do think Keyron Crawford is going to be a player this year. I think he's going to, you know, I think he's going to make some plays. I think he's going to get in the rotation. And I think we're going to, he's going to be a fun player to watch moving forward for sure. All right. My number three position is defensive back. And I put that whole thing in the whole room. Okay. You got safeties and corners, but I'm just going to say defensive backs. Look, there's a scenario where you had a ton of, at last year, you had old guys and then young guys and nothing in between. You just had seniors that have been here for a while that go into the NFL draft afterwards that they're out of eligibility. And then you got a bunch of these young guys that you started to bring in that I feel like you've nailed every single one of them. They're going to be really good players. The only spots I feel like we had to fill were we had to get a – I think you really lacked experience on a true starting safety. And I think you went out and you got that. You got a starting level safety in Jaren Thompson. That everybody is super fired up about. He's got 1 year. He's played a ton of football. He's played a ton of high level football at Texas. And now he's going to finish his career at Auburn. And I think it's going to be he is a massive, massive addition to that secondary. Is somebody that I think we're all going to be very excited to watch. He's going to make a lot of plays. Had a big interception, one of the game-sealing interceptions against Alabama last year when he was at Texas. Just played a ton. He's played a ton of football and played, you know, at a really high level. So very excited. You made that safety room so much better when you added that guy. You added that guy back there. Jaren Thompson, I think he's going to wear number one. So on defense, so be on the lookout for him. He's going to make some plays, but there are so many good young safeties as well that are going to be able to spell him and be able to give good snaps so that he can be fresh. And those guys just continue to get experience. You got Sylvester Smith, you got this new kid, Laquan Robinson that you brought in. So many of those guys that can come in and play that safety role. And then you got a bunch of freshmen coming in. And then as well, you were already recruiting to bring in some guys for next year. So Jaren Thompson's another one of those guys that's sort of that last little portal addition until you can hopefully be in a spot where you can start rotating your high school additions into that room. So Jaren Thompson, a guy that you're going to love, you're going to hear that name a lot. At corner, look, you know you had Kay and Lee, who played a ton last year. You know you got Keontae Scott, who wants to play outside but can play nickel as well. And then you had a bunch of very talented but very young, either redshirt freshmen or true freshmen that are going to fill in. So you wanted to go find a guy that's got a little bit more experience, but, you know, maybe some extra years to play as well, that could, a starting level guy that can come in right now. And you did that when you went and you got Antonio Kite, former top 100 recruit, I believe, that left Alabama in that whole, you know, coaching change deal. He left Alabama. And now that's probably going to be one of your starting outside cornerbacks. Now that it's funny. Now it's like, who starts where? Now you sort of are in a spot where you got a little bit of I don't want to say embarrassment of riches, but you have a lot of kids that can play right now and can play high level starting SEC football. Now who goes where? And I think what you're going to eventually see is I think you're going to see Lee and Kite on the outside for sure. And then eventually you'll see Keontae Scott on the inside. Back at nickel. That is his natural. That's what he's going to play in the NFL. And that's what he can play. He could play that in the NFL for many, many years, because he's that talented and he can be a return specialist as well. So I understand that the outside corner is where you kind of feel like you see the big bucks, but again, do you want to go, do you want to play outside a position you're not 100% comfortable with and maybe hurt your stock? Or do you want to continue to solidify yourself as one of the top nickel prospects in the, you know, in the draft, nickel prospects plus return specialists? I think eventually that's what you're going to see. And those three guys, that's some dudes. That's some dudes at defensive back. You just lost some dudes. You know, you lost a Nehemiah Pritchett. You lost a DJ James. Those guys are going to be playing in the NFL on Sundays a lot. So to be able to add some guys where you don't feel like you see a huge drop off, you throw Jaron Thompson there in the back end. I feel like your DB room is just as good as it was last year. And you know, Jalen Simpson was a big loss, but maybe you add Jaron Thompson and you don't see much of a drop off there as well. So the defensive back room, I put them at number three because, again, I put them at number three because I think if push came to shove, you could play the guys that you had on the roster and you probably still could have been really good, but it would have been, you know, it would have been a gamble. You would have been gambling on, you know, young guys, which, you know, can pay huge dividends in the long run. But after you have the year that you had last year, I think they want to win this year. They want to go ahead and give it a shot, go hard this year to try to win. So those were some spots you had to fill just to give yourself some more experience and just shore up just position groups that are just like one guy off, just one guy off. If you just get that one guy, you feel really good about it. So DB was my number three. Number two. So number two and number one were tough for me. And I wasn't really sure who to put where, but I think the determining factor for me was, at wide receiver, I'm going to put wide receiver at number two. And I think the determining factor is similar to the defensive back, similar to the defensive back room, that you had such an incredibly amazing freshman recruiting class with Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Bryce Kane, Malcolm Simmons. All those guys can play right away. You know, Bryce Kane's a little bit smaller, but he's so insanely quick. I think he could have played a little bit right away. That probably wouldn't, if you didn't bring in anybody from the portal, that probably doesn't make guys like Jay Fair or Javarius Johnson want to jump in. So you got your slot guys. You would have a pretty decent slot, you know, room there. And then you still got Camden Brown as well, that would be sort of the veteran of that room, and Coy Moore that could have been the veteran of the room, and you supplement them with a freshman. It would have made a lot of people, I'm sure, uneasy, but I think you probably still upgraded a little bit at wide receiver. You still would have had a little bit of a better wide receiver room just by adding these super talented freshmen. But so that's why I got him at number two. But, you know, you did have a lot of, you know, portal entries. You lost Jay Fair, who's one of your, you know, leading receivers last year. Javarius Johnson, Jay Fair goes to USC. I'm not sure if Javarius Johnson has signed anywhere yet. And then you lost Coy Moore, which is one of your sort of veteran voices. But you brought in Robert Lewis, who's a starter. He will be one of your starters at slot. You bring in late Keandre Lambert-Smith, the number one wide receiver from Penn State. You know, even though they weren't just an incredibly explosive offense, he was their leading receiver last year. You know, a very, very talented, lot of experience. You bring in him to go opposite Cam Coleman, because when Cam Coleman came in early in the spring, everybody saw how, you know, just incredible he actually is. There is no transition period. He is ready, made for the SEC right away. And I think, you know, you throw that little trio out there, that is a tough, tough group of dudes. That is a tough, tough group of dudes to cover. You also bring in Sam Jackson, who could be a pretty dynamic little slot player. Got a lot of options that you could do with him. And then we haven't even talked about Perry Thompson, who is probably the most physically impressive of all of the guys that are on the roster. And he's not even here yet. When he gets here, you're talking 6'3", 205, very, very, very well-built kid that can do a little bit of everything. that's sort of been seeing a lot of this Cam Coleman hype, been seeing a lot of this Auburn wide receiver talk, and he's got to be like, man, I got to get in there and make something happen. I got to get in there and get after it because, you know, they're not talking about me right now because I'm not there. And I got to get in and start, you know, making some noise. So you're going to see a kid come in who's ready to go. Come in. There was some podcast appearances and stuff that he's done. He's been in Auburn multiple times this whole spring as far as visits and things of that nature, just getting, you know, getting used to Auburn and getting in with the team. He's going to be here as soon as he can, either at the end of May or the beginning of June. It's going to be hard to keep that guy off the field. That is an absolute physical freak that can get the ball in multiple ways and make things happen. Whether it be he's you know, Hugh Freeze says he's not a big jet sweep guy. He's never really been a big jet sweep guy, and that's fine. But screens and different things like that that you can do to get Perry Thompson the ball early and in space when you got a 205 pound just chiseled monster rolling down the field, running a 4.4 down the field. Like, look out, that kid, you know, you throw that kid in the mix and you know, you're, you throw that kid in the mix with everything you already have, you're going to see some special stuff. And then don't forget about Malcolm Simmons, who tried to troll everybody on Instagram and say he wasn't coming to Auburn. Another kid, he may be a year away. You know, he may be a guy. He honestly, his game has a lot of Keandre Lambert Smith in it, but maybe a little bit more top end speed. They do have some similarities as far as the way they're built, their size. I think Malcolm Simmons is just more than likely the top end speed is a little bit higher. So could he learn from Keandre Lambert Smith and then step in the next year? You just got better. I just feel like you got way better in the portal at wide receiver. Yeah, like I said, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Robert Lewis, Sam Jackson, those guys, I'm okay with the trade. If the guys we lost, love them, wish them the best. But if we trade those guys with these guys, I'm totally fine with that. I think the wide receiver room got better. And you could see, I think that in general is going to make Peyton Thorne better. That's going to make the play calling easier. I think that's just going to make the team better. It raises the floor for sure. With that, those wide receiver additions. Number one, the number one group that this was in my opinion, this room was in dire straits. Okay. And it's not because of the talent that we have here, because I do think we had some really good talent. I mean, obviously, you got Jason Jones, who's played for, you know, this will be 3 years now, so many snaps, and he's been really, really good for Auburn. So he was coming back, but really on that interior, you just had him and Keldrick Falk, and that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. So if you don't want to just roll with a bunch of true freshmen to fill in those holes, and you don't even have a ton of those guys, you absolutely had to go find more defensive linemen, interior guys, to be able to just have a room. Just be able to survive the year, you had to go get guys. But you, not only did you do that, not only did you go get those guys, but you actually got guys that have played a lot of football and played a lot of football at a really high level. You added Isaiah Rakes at the very end of the portal, who I think could be the most important player of the whole portal season, because he is a true nose tackle, a guy that when you look at some of his PFF grades, he has PFF grades as far as like run stopping and being able to hold gaps and things like that. He's graded out at some of the tops in the country. He's not a guy that's going to play a ton of snaps, but he's going to play on early downs. He's going to free eat up blocks and be able to allow some of these playmaking, your Keldrick Fox, your Jalen McLeods, these linebackers behind you, be able to scrape, fill holes, make plays. I think he's going to be an incredible add. And then Phillip Bleedy, who's probably going to, I think, eventually will be your starter beside a Jason Jones, if not, you know, one of your starters right beside Jason Jones, played a ton of football. Gage Keys, who's going to be a perfect backup for Keldrick Falk, you know, or even slide inside as well. He had a really good spring. And then you have Trill Carter, who was when he was at Minnesota, was like a all Big Ten honorable mention player. So you got multiple guys in now that can play. They're only got 1 year though. So I would have loved to have seen maybe we've got a little bit of more. I think Gage Keys may have a couple of more years, but it's, everybody else is basically one and done. So you got, I would have loved to have seen some guys that had maybe 2 years left, you know, because again, next year we're going to be completely young. We'll be super young. So you're going to have to go in the portal again. And it's going to be tricky because, you know, kids don't want to wait. So you're going to have some guys that are going to be redshirt freshmen or true sophomores that are going to want to play. They're going to want to play. So if you go get, it's that delicate balance of trying to figure out how to bring in some guys to help make your team better and not run dudes off. So that is just football today. So again, you had to bring in those guys, you brought them in, and I think you got better. So all in all, you know, 1 through 5, these groups, Auburn probably got another at least 2 wins out of where they would have been had they not added these guys, in my opinion. 1.5 to 2 wins, raising the floor and the ceiling. I really like what Auburn did in the portal, and I'm looking forward to seeing this team shake out in the fall. So I think your roster's set, and now you're just going to get into summer workouts and player-led, you know, throwing sessions and all that good stuff that I'm sure we'll get some reports on. So Auburn football, again, the roster seems like it's set, and I love what we've done with all the additions. We're going to talk about a basketball visitor in just a second, but before we do that, we got to give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON, BUTTON, for 10% off every order for the rest of your life. Do not go to Sam's Club anymore. Don't go to Walmart. Don't go to Publix and buy these aluminum. You know what I'm talking about. It's either the aluminum or those plastic giant tubs of coffee that have been sitting there for weeks, and then they're going to go sit in your pantry or on your counter for weeks. Stale old coffee. Go to plainscoffee.com. They grind it up fresh, literally days before it ships. You can smell it from the mailbox. Okay, it's just as fresh as it could possibly be other than you grinding your own coffee. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. They got a roast for everyone, tons of different flavors. And then obviously, if you're not a coffee person, they got teas too for you. So check them out, plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON for 10% off. Auburn has a huge basketball visitor today, power forward from Texas, Dylan Mitchell. I think he's got a couple of years left to play. Young guy, sophomore. He reminds me a good bit of, you know, he kind of reminds me of a Chaney Johnson. You know, very good athlete that's developing, still developing his skills, and could make a huge step in this next season. Dropped 20 on UConn this past year. Not a huge overall, though, was sort of hit or miss. On the offensive side, he is not a real stretch forward. Okay. So, you know how we could rely on, you know, we could rely a little bit on Jalen bouncing out and popping a three. I don't think that's this kid's game. I think he's a banger. He gets in there. He is an incredible rebounder. He almost averaged 10 rebounds a game. I mean, he was very good rebounder. A great inside game, shot over 50% from the field, from the inside. He's an inside guy. And then, you know, he was subpar from the free throw line, but that's just something you got to work through. And I think, you know, I think this is a kid that really finishes off that backcourt, that front court. I mean, really, really finishes off that front court. 6'8", 200 plus pounds, 205, 210, depending on what roster you're looking at. He's got a lot of experience. I think he would be a huge. I think it would be a great addition. For what the scenario is you have. I mean, really, this is the scenario Auburn's in. And I'm going to lead into my last topic with this. But, you know, Auburn's in a position to where you really have a 7 to 8 man rotation sort of set. And they're pretty good. They're pretty solid. Your starting five for sure is set. And then you have guys like Tahad Pettiford, you're at your two guard, that's going to be your backup, who's, you know, McDonald's All-American. Okay, you got Dylan Cardwell, who's going to be your true backup at center. And then you got a bevy of other guys. You got Ja'Kai Howard, Chris Moore, those guys that can come off the bench as well. So you have a true five starting five, and then you probably have honestly a real seven deep that are ready to play, that they could play at many other schools and could probably start at many other schools. So Auburn's in a position at the forward position with Chaney. You got Chaney and then Broom, who, you know, Bruce talked about, you know, we sort of owe it to Janai Broom to give him a shot to play a position that he's probably going to be playing more in the NBA if he wants to make a run at the NBA. Obviously, he's probably not going to be a true center, a true big man in the NBA. He's probably going to be more of a power forward, more of a four in the NBA. So, you know, we owe it to Broom, and I think he wants to be able to play some. I'm not saying start at the he may start in the lineup at four, but not like starters minutes at the four. I don't think him and Dylan Cardwell are going to be on the floor together for 20 plus minutes a game, but they may be on the floor together for, you know, maybe 5 to 8 minutes a game. So you got Broom that's probably going to get some shots at the four. You got Chaney, who we saw the incredible development he made over the year. He's just going to be even that much better next year. So what do you really have to sell? Like, if you really think about it, what do you really have to sell at the power forward? Hey, I know you can come, but you're going to have to compete against Janai Broom, who's going to get some minutes at four. And then Chaney Johnson, who at times looked like an all SEC, you know, type player, whether it be, you know, whatever team you want to put him on. Third team, second team, first team, whatever. He was playing. He had some, stretches where he was playing at an all-star level. So the position that Bruce is in to be able to sell that's tough. More than likely, what you're going to have to do is you're probably going to have to go NIL more than you really want to for that position, because you just don't have the minutes that you can guarantee that you can really sell. So you bring this guy in. I mean, honestly, maybe he may only be able to play somewhere around 14 to 15 minutes a game, unless he's just ends up being way better than Chaney Johnson, which is not necessarily off the table. But I just think Chaney's game, being able to stretch the court, being able to, you know, pop threes and things like that, gives him the edge. But you never know. This kid could be a freak. He is an athletic freak. He could come in that extra year of developmental, you know, extra year of development and be able to go. You never know. But honestly, there's just not a ton of minutes to sell. I guess what you're really selling on is being the guy the following year. You could be my guy at power forward, you know, in 2025, 2026. Yeah, 2025, 2026. So it's tough. It's tough for all. Bruce is in a tough spot right now recruiting, because you just don't have the minutes to sell. And that's where I want to talk about miss. What is a miss? And because I've been seeing this a lot. Oh, I'm tired of seeing Bruce and all these misses. I'm tired of seeing Bruce continue to miss on the portal. We don't see other teams missing in the portal. Conversations that go like that. And it's like, okay, let's be really honest with ourselves. If we just want to, because to me, miss has a negative connotation. Miss to me means you lost somebody you had no business losing. You know, all things were equal. You shouldn't, there's no excuse. Even if you got outbid, whatever. You had the time, you had the minutes, you had the depth chart, you had everything, and you missed. That's on it, because, you know, that's, again, that's on you. That would be a negative connotation. That to me means that's on you, and, you know, there's nothing, you know, there was no really excuse for you to be able to miss that person. That to me is a miss. Okay, what we're seeing right now are kids that are taking starting positions over non-starting positions. Duke Miles will be Oklahoma's starting point guard. He took, you know, right before he had agreed, okay, I'm going to come in, I'm going to be the backup, and then I'm going to be the guy next year. Oklahoma comes out of the blue and says, we got to have a starter. We got to have a starting point guard. He goes to Oklahoma. Okay. Is that really a miss? You lost somebody you had no business losing? I don't think so. Jordan Ivey Curry played 27 minutes a game last year. He was not going to play 27 minutes at Auburn this year. He goes to UCF where he can be the guy. Possibly took less NIL money to go play more minutes. Is that a miss? Is that a guy that, you know, you really had no business losing because you had the better product to sell? I don't think so. Again, miss to me has a negative connotation. That to me is not a negative scenario. What do you want Bruce to do? Go get not very elite guards so that you don't miss? Do you want us to just go sign a Mark Freeman from Morehead State who didn't even play last year? Do you want us to just go get him early or go get a JUCO guy early just so you don't have to feel like Auburn missed? I don't really get it. People are kind of acting like Auburn's got an issue. Auburn's got a problem. Bruce has got a problem. We're struggling in the portal. I mean, yeah, if you want to call it struggling to be able to sell to high-level guards to come play backup, yeah. You know who else? Probably anybody else. Probably everybody else out there selling high-level guards. Spare me Alabama. Spare me Alabama with Aiden Holloway and Fallon, whatever, LeBaron, whatever his name is. I don't even know his name, okay? Two guys that Auburn had and didn't want anymore. That's your example of people not struggling to be able to add high-level backup guards? Give me a break. Auburn is going to add some guards. They're going to add a guard, and they're going to add a forward to this roster. Okay, more than likely, barring disaster, Auburn's going to add a guard. Auburn's going to add a forward, and it may be a guy that's not, you know, it's not going to be a guy that's almost averaging a double double, and maybe a guy that's not averaging double figures in points. Because honestly, you don't have a very good situation to sell right now as far as playing time goes. So let's chill. Remember, Chad Baker Mazzara came late in the cycle. Justin Hokanson and On Three tried to tell you this thing was going to go late for these last two roster spots because they're going to be, you know, big time evaluating. If the Dior Johnson thing can work out, and if that works out, we'll do a whole show on him. He could be the best guard at Auburn in quite a long time. I know he's had a ton of discipline issues, some red flags that he seems to have, you know, worked his way back into the good graces with multiple different people. If you get that guy and Auburn allows him in and you can make the transcript works and everything, that could be the best guard that Auburn's had in quite a long time. He's that talented, you know, but we just got to see how it plays out. At this point in time, how can you not trust Bruce? You know, how can you not trust Bruce with everything that he's done and the heights that he's brought Auburn basketball? I just don't like these conversations going around that are saying, you know, Bruce whiff, another Bruce miss. To me, that's dishonest. It's just not a true representation of what's going on. He's got elite guards that are on the fence of, do I want to come play for Bruce Pearl and sit on the bench, or do I want to go be a starter somewhere else? And we're that close. We've been that close to landing, you know, multiple of these guys. So, again, you know, if you want to say anybody that we don't get is a miss, well, my God, in football, you offer 100 people. So, and you only land roughly 20. So, is that the road we want to go down? Okay, well, then we only hit 20% of the people that we offer. I mean, come on. You got to be able to take things into context. You got to be able to look at the whole situation. And I don't think Auburn's in a scenario where we're struggling in the portal. We just have an unfavorable product to sell for a backup, right? Really anyone in the portal, because they don't want to come be backups. So let's chill. Let's see how it plays out. I like this starting 5-7 rotation that we have right now. And we got some good, you know, pieces, you know, young pieces that can jump in there as well. And then you just add a couple more and you're ready to go. So let's see what happens. guys, great show. Enjoyed it. I think this was a lot of fun breaking down the portal, talking a little bit basketball visitors, giving my opinion on some definitional terms. And I really enjoyed it. So like this video, subscribe to the channel. You can follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You can catch me in multiple different message boards, Locked On Auburn Discord, things of that nature. And then we can interact. Comment if you disagree with anything. I'm going to comment back. I'm going to reply back in the comments. So I enjoyed it. Have a great rest of the week. We'll get back with you on Thursday. This has been episode 41 of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.